I want to invite your attention today, Matthew chapter 7, and primarily verse number 24, which is the first verse of the scriptures I read previously in this service. The title that I have given my sermon this morning is Jesus Christ, Our Rock. And I hope you'll see that in this passage today. The Pew Bibles, the passage is recorded on page 1351 in the New Testament. 1351 in the New Testament. So you pray the Lord will bless. I'm going to read that 24th verse again and listen carefully to it. It's really the basis of all that I have to say to you today in sharing the Word of God. Jesus said, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, you recognize these are the words of Jesus. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. May God bless the reading of his word. Would you join your heart with me again? A few moments of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and saving us through Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior. Thank you for the blessed hope that we have of heaven and glory when the pilgrimage of this life has ended. Thank you, dear Lord, for your blessings every day because you bless us in more ways than we even realize. A lot of times they're blessings, and we were blessed that way yesterday, and we just assume the same's good for today. But if you didn't continue to bless us, we wouldn't have it that way. Thank you for blessing us, Lord. Thank you for your grace to help us through difficult and dark times in life. Times when hearts are broken, times when bodies are broken with sickness. And we just need you, Lord, in a very great way. Thank you for coming and ministering to our hearts and to our needs. And through your word and through your Holy Spirit, you bless us and strengthen us and give us what we need to be able to go on another day or whatever time you've allotted for us. But Lord, we need you right now in the sharing of your word. I can read it. Thank you for my voice holding out to do that. And I can try to preach. I can try to do the best I know how, Lord. But I can't do it without your help and your blessings. And if there's just one heart in this congregation today that your word just really speaks to them, really gives them comfort and hope, it won't be me, Lord. It will be by your Spirit. Grant the Holy Spirit to bless your word today to the hearts of each and every one of us who have gathered here in your house. Draw us closer and closer to you every day. Let us be strengthened in our faith and hope for tomorrow's. And guide and direct us by your Spirit and your word through the days that are ahead. And we'll try always to remember at the ending of the day and maybe at other times, just to momentarily and quietly say thank you, Lord, for the blessings you have given again and again. We ask it all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. The New Testament begins with the Gospel according to Matthew. And there are some interesting things that occur in the first chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. I was thinking about them when my mind and heart came to the passage I've read in your hearing. Thought about the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew is the genealogy of Jesus and the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The second chapter is where the wise men come looking for this newborn one that is so very special to us and to so many. And they found him as the star led them to where Jesus was. But in the second chapter, when they found him, he was a little small child at that time. But it says he grew in grace. And the third chapter then shows us Jesus as a matured and grown man. a man somewhere of about 30 years of age. But he goes to John the Baptist, who is in the area baptizing and preaching the Word of God. And he wants to be baptized by John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist had a revelation from God about Jesus. And he knew that Jesus was someone very, very important and very special. And when Jesus came and asked John the Baptist to baptize him, John the Baptist did not feel that he should baptize Jesus. He felt unworthy to baptize someone of such great importance as Jesus. So he said, I have need rather to be baptized of you. But Jesus said, no, suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And so he was baptized by John the Baptist in the latter verses of the third chapter. And then in the fourth chapter, Jesus, almost immediately after his baptism, is led into the wilderness, and he is tempted by the devil. I tell you, brothers and sisters, whether you're aware of it or not, the devil will tempt you. And he knows just how to go about it, and he knows just what your weaknesses are and what mine are. And just as Jesus, the Son of God, was tempted by the devil, rest assured, will tempt us. Three times he tempted Jesus, and three times Jesus would not yield. And so, beginning then, after that time when such great temptations, then the angels of God came and ministered to him. And so closed out that chapter. Then we come to the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Chapters 5, 6, and 7 comprise the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus went up briefly up onto the side of a mountain, and those who were devoted followers of Jesus followed him up there. The world out at large paid no attention, just like it is today. We've gathered to worship God. Churches small and great across and around the face of the earth, people have met to worship God. The world goes on by and doesn't take a look or consider or ponder what we're doing. It's of no importance to them. And it was that way when Jesus lived and walked on the earth, and so the world just passed by. But there on the side of the mountain was this little group of disciples. And Jesus began to teach them. It was the Sermon on the Mount. It was a sermon for our lives. It was a sermon for the church on the earth. When it comes to the end of that sermon, in that sermon he teaches us how we ought to pray, how we ought to fast, how we ought to give. Just such a diverse number of subjects the Lord dealt with in those three chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. But we're coming today to the very last part of that Sermon on the Mount. And this is the last real teaching that Jesus will give us in these three chapters. It's the last of them. You noticed that earlier when I read verses 28 and 29, just simply said, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings. What sayings? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So, this is the last teaching that Jesus gave in the great Sermon on the Mount. And you might look at this passage and think it a strange parable for the Lord to have given. Most of us will never build a house. Most of us wouldn't know how to start to build a house. And if we built the house, it might not stand very long. At least mine wouldn't. I'd be made so many mistakes and just not knowing how to do it. But that's what this seemingly is about. And a lot of people pass over it for that reason. He's talking about it from their day and time, of course. Their perspective of how they went about building a house. And what he is doing is establishing in their minds and ours that it's important to know not so much the materials in the house, but the materials that are underneath the house that are going to be holding it up. And so in this parable, he talks about this man who builds his house on a rock. Now every life is going to encounter these following difficulties. He says the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. It stood the test of all the elements raging against it. It didn't fall down. It fell not, for it was founded on a rock. But then he makes a comparison. He said, but on the other side, there is a man who has also built his house, but that man did not build his house on a rock. He built his house on the sand. Well, it was an easier thing to do. A lot of sand, and you might have to look for a suitable rock to build it. So he just built it on the sand. That seemed all right to him. It would hold up, stand up, sleep in it, live in it. But the problem was those same elements was going to rage against that man's house. The rains would rain down, the floods would come, the winds would blow and beat on it, and it fell. It fell. It was built upon the sand. Those same elements brought it down. And great was the fall of it. It destroyed that house. So people walk away with a lesson to say, well, if I'm going to build a house, I better build it on rock, because there's going to be some rains and there's going to be some floods and there's going to be some winds blowing, and I don't want my house to fall. And now, brothers and sisters, I see a greater lesson than that here. It's not just about building physical dwellings. It's about building lives. Our lives, in reality, can be illustrated by the building of these houses. That some will build their lives on the frail things of this world and all the vices and all the enticements and all the things that are of interest to people in the world. You know, we get our focus where the focus of other people seems to be, and we do what we want to do. But sometimes when the hard times come, the difficult time, the trying time, times of sickness, times of death, times when we have losses in life, and we crumble. We crumble. Our house of our life literally falls apart. Why? We built it on the wrong foundation. That's the greater point that Jesus is making. When we build our lives upon Jesus, it's like the man who built his house on a rock. And when we build our lives upon Jesus as our foundation, yes, we're going to have trouble just like everybody else. The saved have troubles similar to the troubles of the unsaved. Saved and unsaved alike will lose loved ones. Saved and unsaved alike will have sickness. They will have losses in life. They will have hard times and good times. But the difference is made in how we weather the storm. If we followed the world and just built our lives on anything, any whim, whatever's the popular cause of the day, so we follow that way and we build our lives only for it to end in disappointment and failure down the road. Or we can build our lives upon the rock, and then it will stand the test of time. Yeah, the elements will still hit us. Hard times will still come against us, but I've seen it in my lifetime, these many years of pastoring. I've seen the difference in how people endure the dark and difficult times in life. And it makes the difference where you're building your life, whether it's on Jesus or on the world's ways. You say, well, then why would you say Jesus? Why is he the rock? It's an interesting thing as I studied for this sermon today that I found out. Way back over in Psalm 95, the first verse he says, "Oh, come and let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise." Listen to this. "To the rock of our salvation." Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Lord. He's talking about God. God is the rock of our salvation. Not shifting sand. He's the rock of our salvation. I want to share with you three very brief passages this morning about Jesus as a rock. I want you to get that connection, because probably the most important connection that I can make in this sermon today. In the book of Romans, chapter number 9, I want to read two verses, which are the last two verses of that chapter in Romans. Verse 32 and 33 reads thusly, "Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written." Here it is now. Here's what's written in the Old Testament. "Behold, I lay in Zion." The Oldest Testament's called Zion, Z-I-O-N. In New Testament, it's the same thing, but it's spelled Zion, S-I-O-N. "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone," listen, "and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him," this is a rock who is a person, not just the lifeless rock you'll find in the world. This stumbling stone, this rock of offense, is Jesus, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. All right, let me look at 1 Peter and chapter number 2. And I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. Now let me back up to number 6. "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him," that is Jesus, "shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." So what he is telling is there that those of us who believe in Jesus, believe he is the Savior of sinners and our Savior and the Son of God, and he's precious to us. And so those which are disobedient, ignore the word of God, the stone which the builders disallowed, same is made the head of the corner. Now, when they built a stone structure, they had one particular stone that began the whole building. It's called the cornerstone. They laid it where they wanted the corner to be, and then they laid a stone this way and that until they formed the layer. Then they set the second layer all the way around, and after a while they had the building constructed of stone walls, but it all began with the one cornerstone, and Jesus is the cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling, listen, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, unto all, whereunto also they were appointed. But Jesus again, just same as Paul did, Jesus again is mentioned as being a rock of offense. But I have one more, and this one's very clear. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and the first four verses. Paul said, "Under the inspiration of God, moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." What's he talking about? He's talking about when God parted the Red Sea, and the children of Israel, who had been set free from the bondage of Egypt, came to it. The Egyptian army was behind them. The Red Sea was in front of them. They had no place to go. God opened the Red Sea. He parted the waters. He dried the ground out. They marched across on dry ground. He brought the clouds down upon the sea waters so that when they literally walked through the parting of the Red Sea, there was water on three sides of them. And Paul said, in a significant way, they were being baptized by God. So they were all baptized under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. Now listen to this fourth verse very carefully. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I mean, it can't be denied. It's Bible. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. And the importance of this passage here in Matthew 7 is telling us to build our lives, not to build a physical, tangible house, but to build our lives on a rock. And that rock is Jesus. Now, there was in the Old Testament an illustration of what was going to take place in the life of Jesus. When they passed through the Red Sea, I just described, Book of Exodus, chapter number 17, I believe it is, and around verse number 6, they have come out of the parted sea. They're journeying toward the promised land. They haven't gotten there, but they're journeying in that direction. God is leading them at night by a pillar of fire and in the day by a cloud. They knew which way to go. But in the course, some of those winds, some of those rains, some of those floods began to come and rain against them. They began to be thirsty, and they wanted Moses to do something about it. Well, Moses couldn't do anything about it. He's probably just as thirsty as they were. He couldn't help himself. How are you going to help them? But Moses knew somebody that could help, and that was God. And God did help. God told Moses, said, Moses, there's a rock over there. I want you to go stand on that rock, because I'm going to be standing on it with you. And God said, when you're standing there, then I want you to take your step, and I want you to strike that rock in the presence of the people. I want them to see you strike that rock. And when you strike the rock, water will begin to bubble out and rush out and begin to fill a pool and make water for them to have water. The rock was smitten, struck. That prefigured Jesus dying on the cross. That's what it was about, in my humble estimation. It was looking forward to Calvary, when the rock of God, Jesus, would be smitten on the cross and would there die for our sins. So, Jesus is the rock. Now, what do we do about building a life on the rock of Jesus? Well, that's what he's talking about. Verse 24 is why I read it earlier again. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. We build our lives upon Jesus. Listen carefully. By being obedient to Jesus. By doing what he tells us to do. That's what he tells us here. Doeth them. These sayings of mine, you're to do them. And if you do them, I'll liken you. You'll be like a man or a one who has built a house on a rock, and all the elements rage against it. And that house stands, as much as to say, when we build our lives on Jesus Christ, the rock of God, the rock of our salvation, let Satan hurl everything at us, he will. But he cannot take us away from God. He cannot take salvation away from us. Whether we live or die or however long we may live on this earth, salvation is waiting to be with God in heaven's wonderful glory. So we are to be doing those things, building our life upon Jesus. Now, we're not saved by what we do. We're not saved by building our life upon the rock. That just helps us to have a foundation upon which to build our life. But the only hope we have in Jesus is that he died for your sins and mine. I know people don't like hearing this. Some people do not. When you say we're all sinners, people don't want to hear it. They say you're implying I've done something wrong. Listen to me. Before Almighty God, we have all done something wrong. And it's called, in God's sight, sin. And God's the one who's going to make the decision about you and me. And so, you see, some folks want to ignore God. That doesn't solve the problem. They want to ignore the Word of God. That doesn't solve the problem. They think they get by with it. It doesn't solve the problem. We're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. When we get to heaven's glory, it won't be because I built my house on Jesus. And someone that didn't build their house on Jesus, they're not going to make it because they didn't do that. That's not what I'm preaching to you today. Our only hope of heaven's glory is a Savior. God sent His only begotten Son into the world. His name was Jesus. He lived without sin and He died for our sins. And whether we like the idea that we're sinners before God or not, we are. And we will one day stand before the judgment of God. Might be tomorrow, somewhere down the road, another year, 10 years, whatever. But when we come, God's children now, chosen in Christ before the world began, when we come in that final day to stand before God, I'm going to tell you, it'll be what Jesus did for us that makes the eternal difference. That He died for your sins and mine. He shed His blood for us. And that will be our only entrance into heaven and glory, world without end. Oh, it's such a joy for me to think about that and preach about it. But today specifically I'm preaching about between now and that time when at last we'll go home to heaven because Jesus saved us by sacrificial death and shed blood. I'm talking about your life and mine. And us building our lives upon the rock of Jesus. How do we do that? Well, Jesus gave us some examples in the Bible. That's one way we do it. Jesus, when He washed the disciples' feet, 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, He said in the 15th verse, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. If we want to build our lives on the rock of Jesus, we've got to be doing what He says. And He teaches us by example throughout the Bible. He gives us the example of how to love, of how to forgive. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So He gives all kinds of good examples for us to live by. So that's why we're to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. Those who keep the sayings of God, of Christ, doing them, I'll liken him to a wise man, built his house on a rock. So if you know, if you read in the Bible and you see something Jesus did, you can say, well, He's my example. I can follow Him. That will make my life better. Second thing is being obedient. Not just doing the things He did and gave us examples for. But remember, this is just 3 chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. But He taught us a lot of other things. For example, in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 15, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So building our lives upon Jesus means that we ought to look in the Bible and read the Bible and see what Jesus did about things, that He becomes our example that we can follow, and we'll be on a far better path. And when the storms rage, we'll still be able, because we're on the rock. We're building our life on the rock. And then we also just read the Bible and hear what Jesus said. You know, Jesus gave us some wonderful teachings. One of my favorites. We call it the Golden Rule. The Golden Rule. We paraphrase it by saying, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Jesus said, what things soever you would that men should do you even so to them. It's Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Jesus said, what you and I need to do, if we're going to build our lives on the rock of Jesus, we need to look at life and say, Now, I'm in a relationship with this person. It might be the boss. It might be somebody that's repaired your automobile. It might be somebody you don't even know. You encounter them. But how would I want to be treated? How do I want people to treat me? And you think about it and you say, well, I'd like for them to be nice to me. I'd like for them to be kind to me. I'd like for them to be respectful of me. Then Jesus is saying, then you treat them like you would want to be treated. You know, we cannot possibly measure the worth and value of that one commandment of Jesus. If our world today, we can't imagine the difference it would make if in our world today people started living by the golden rule. But Jesus taught it. See, everything he taught us is good for us. Not just a hit and miss. He built everything upon the rock so that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. And that's John 14:15. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him or her, as it may apply to us, unto the wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Satan will hurl at you all he can. He'll do it today, he'll do it again tomorrow. But when our lives are built on the rock, Jesus, we can withstand all that. We can withstand all the losses. We can withstand all the pain. We can withstand all the difficulties that are part of human existence. We make it through. We'll have grace to do it because our life is built on Jesus. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:13. So that's what I have on my heart today. Jesus Christ, our rock, manifest as the rock in the Old Testament, verified as the rock in the New Testament. And so he's our Savior, yes. He is our Lord, yes. He is God manifest in the flesh, yes. He's more than I can tell you, yes. But in that long list of who and what Jesus is, he is the rock upon which we are to build the lives we live. Build our house upon him as our rock. When we do that, I think we'll be more inclined to praise and glorify God our Father in his goodness to us through Jesus Christ, to say he wasn't just our Savior. He taught us how to live, too. He taught us how to get the best out of life, too. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And we'll thank Jesus for loving us enough to come into the world. You know, he could have just come down here and presented the situation. The Romans would have grabbed him and crucified him just like a common thief, and that had been all there was to it, but it isn't. He lived on this earth somewhere we can't figure it out. I've even Googled it. They can't tell you. Nobody knows exactly how long Jesus lived on this earth. If they do, I haven't been able to find it. But somewhere 32 to 33 years, in that general vicinity, he lived upon this earth before going back to heaven's glory. And while he was here, he left such wonderful teachings. And the one I've shared with you today is just a small part of them, but I hope a meaningful part that will help us to think about Christ the rock. Let me today and tomorrow and every day try to do what he tells me to do. I'll be building my house on the solid rock. And God bless you in doing that. God give us all grace to do that. Strength, understanding, courage. It will take it all. It won't be a bed of roses. It won't be easy. But it'll be the best life that can possibly be lived, building a life upon the rock of Jesus. God bless you. Bless His word to all our hearts. For the glory of God, for our good and encouragement as we live from day to day here in this world. It's my prayer. Christ's sake.